chariot, the barrett of the sea, she mad. A boy charred in the back of the Danta Swarmish looking pad. Ananta Cody Vice never be. Nama chariot, she lahri das, Kapoor. Prem, Sikaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhupada, and the Suyad, Waiti Gadad, Harshi Basti Gore, Bhakti Vindiki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan, Sri Brindavan Dam, Sri Mayapur Navadip Dam, Sri Jagannath Puri Dam, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Samatheta Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Nitai Gaura Prema. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gurang, all glories to Sri Guru. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam
Saritam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhanati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakama Shri Guru Mashtabhamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this would be in English and with any translation? Nepali or Russian or just English or
English?
English. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Who cannot follow?
Just you?
Huh? Okay, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. Machchita madgata prana
Machchita madgata prana
Udayanta parasparam
Udayanta parasparam
Katayantascha mam nityam
Tushyanti charamanti cha
Machchita madgata prana
Machchita madgata prana
Udayanta parasparam
Udayanta parasparam
Katayantascha mam nityam
Katayantascha mam nityam
Tushyanti charamanti cha
Tushyanti charamanti cha
Lord Krishna said, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects.
The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in a transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of a living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different plants of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it's sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the supreme planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It's explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12-13-18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there's nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Machchata madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushanti charamanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, the lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Our spirit soul, we are by nature active, and that active nature is manifested on three levels of the body, the words or speech, and the mind. We are always busy in some kind of activity. Everyone is busy in this material world. Everyone's busy in the spiritual world too. All the living entities are always busy. Even if someone tries to give up activity and merge in Brahman, still, you know, there is some kind of activity going on. You'll be breathing, eating sometimes, thinking like that. Occasionally may speak. Of course, some may take the Monavrata vow. Extremely difficult. Most persons are talking regularly, talking to one another, talking on their phones, etc. So busy physically, busy vocally, and the mind, of course, is always busy thinking so many thoughts. I don't know, the scientists did some kind of analysis. They said hundreds of thousands of thoughts go through the mind every day. So, of course, generally these thoughts and words and deeds in the material world are, you know, on the bodily platform, connected with the maintenance of the body, connected with the maintenance of one's family members, connected with the enjoyment of the senses, like that. So in this way, people are and spirit souls in human bodies, and spirit souls in other bodies, of course, also very busy in material activities. Prabhupada says even the birds, when they get up in the morning, they start discussing various topics. These topics are all material. I remember once they seem to have their own news broadcasting system. Well, they do, obviously, the animals. This morning, I couldn't get out of the gate to go to the temple because there's hundreds of monkeys out there, you know, the big racket, discussing yak with one another. Once I remember we were in Guwahati, yeah, that was long before the temple was built, 1976. We had some Mercedes vans which were imported into India on temporary permits. Maybe Gargamuni's vans, you remember? six Mercedes Benz vans. So he brought them to India on a temporary, what they call carne de passage. It allows 6 months in India. But Gargamuni is very confident, you know, I'll go to the customs official, give them some, you know, prasadam, talk to them nicely, and they'll let us keep as long as we want. But of course, it wasn't the case. Eventually, overstayed, and the customs sent out message that these vans should be confiscated, surrendered to the customs. So we happened to be in Darjeeling distributing books, and some police came to us and said, you know, show us your documents. And we showed the documents, and they said, you know, stay here, you can't move. But we didn't pay attention, we just left and we drove. But they stopped us in Kalimpong on the way down to Siliguri, and they said, we're confiscating your van. Customs is confiscating your van. So we had about 40 boxes of books in the van. So we had to unload all the books. They took the van, and we had to put the books on a bus and go to Guwahati. That's where we were going, to Assam, to distribute books. So in Guwahati, we stayed at the Gaudiya Math. There was a Mat of Maharaj's Gaudiya Math. So they gave us shelter, and we kept the books there, and we were, you know, going out distributing. And sometimes we go to other cities like Dibrugarh, Tejpur, other Shillong there in Meghalaya. Around the area, we're distributing books. Anyway, once we are chanting our japa on the roof of the Gaudiya Math, and early in the morning, and some hawk, a big bird, you know, it flew and landed on an electric junction box. So there was a huge explosion. You know, in India, all the electric wires are all kind of twisted around. A huge explosion, flash, and the big hawk fell down, you know, dead. And immediately, ka, 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 all the crows were, you know, coming. They kept loudly talking to one another, swooping down, you know, looking at this hawk and spreading the word. Soon there were hundreds and hundreds of crows came from all over Guwahati City. So they, you know, also discussing, they have their news broadcast, breaking news, you know. Very important now, isn't it? What, Fox, is it Fox News, breaking news, this new BBC, CNN, etc. up to the minute, you know, report what's going on all over the place, all over the world. But as Prabhupada mentioned, this news is all mundane. It's all on the material platform. It doesn't help one in making any spiritual progress. Rather, it simply fills up one's head with rubbish. As it said in the Bhagavatam, that those words which do not describe the glories and activities of the Lord, they are like a place of pilgrimage for crows. You see, and the self-realized souls do not derive any pleasures there. But rather, they relish hearing the transcendental subject matter. On the other hand, those literatures which describe the transcendental pastimes and glories of the Lord, they are, the place of pilgrimage for the paramahansas, the swan-like devotees of the Lord. You see, who the swans, they are able to extract a cream from the milk. So the swan-like devotees, they like to hear the glories of the Lord. They like to chant the names of the Lord. As described here, Krishna is saying that the devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Mm. So the process of Krishna consciousness then is one of engaging one's thoughts and words and deeds in Krishna conscious activities. So from the time the devotees rise in the morning, they begin to chant the holy names of the Lord. They hear from the scriptures about the process of devotional service, about the qualities and activities of Krishna. They ask questions and get answered, about Krishna consciousness and about spiritual life. The birds, on the other hand, as Prabhupada says, they get up in the morning and they start asking questions and getting answered, but they're all on the mundane platform. So Prabhupada said that material means forgetfulness of Krishna and spiritual means remembrance of Krishna. So we have to adopt the means by which we can remember Krishna. That is the Bhakti Yoga process, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna, hearing about the process of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada has published so many books. I think he published about 100 books altogether, isn't it? Including small ones. Bigger ones, maybe about 60 books. Prabhupada says sometimes people question why so many books, but actually he said you can have unlimited books about the spiritual world. He said his spiritual master he was publishing this daily newspaper, Nadia Prakash it was called, the light of Nadia, Nadia Prakash, and someone asked him, how come you're publishing his newspaper every day? But he said, there are so many, in every city, there are so many newspapers that are publishing him every day. And they're full of
rubbish.
They're full of rubbish. They're full of mundane subject matter. He said, the spiritual world is much greater, much bigger than the material world. So, you can have so many newspapers every day about spiritual subject matters. Mm. So in this way, we have the propensity to talk, we have the propensity to publish books and newspapers. So we should publish them in connection with Krishna, to glorify Krishna and to spread the knowledge of the process of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, in our activities, we should be busy in devotional service. If we're not busy in devotional service, then we'll be busy in a mundane activities. Because by nature we're active. One way or another we're going to have to do something. Mm. So spiritual means to do things that are connected to Krishna. Offer the results of one's activities to Krishna and perform activities to serve the Sankirtan movement. Once Prabhupada said that service to Krishna in this age of Kali means a service to the Sankirtan movement. And he liked to see devotees doing practical service. There was an instance when a Prabhupada came out of his house in Vrindavan one morning, and the devotees would clean the pathways around the temple early in the morning. They would throw water on the path, and then they would sweep it away with those brooms. So Prabhupada came out, and one devotee was offering prayers. We think we have met your grace by the will of providence, just to accept you as a captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the dangerous ocean of Kali. You know that verse from the first chapter of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada stopped him at the word providence, and he hit on the ground with his cane. It was some dirty water, not yet clean. He said, is this the will of providence? So the devotee said, no, Srila Prabhupada, no. It's my fault. So Prabhupada said, do something practical. He said, clean it up. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada liked to see the devotees to busy in devotional service. Not, of course, he encouraged to study the books, but once there was actually some dispute between two sannyasis. One said that we should go to morning and evening program and during the day go on Sankirtan. And the other said, morning and evening program, then up to noontime, more classes, and then prasadam, and then in the afternoon we can go on Sankirtan. And Prabhupada actually, he said the first one, we should follow the first one. That's a iskon sandwich, isn't it? Morning program, evening program. And in the daytime, going on Sankirtan, spreading the glories of the Lord, being busy in devotional service. If we do regularly attend morning, evening program and chant 16 rounds, then we're getting quite a lot of spiritual nourishment. Kirtan in the morning, kirtan in the evening, class in the morning, class in the evening. Of course, Prabhupada also established a Mayapur Vrindavan festival, some, additional periods when there can be some increased hearing and chanting. But he also liked to see the devotees active in preaching, active in serving the deities and different kinds of devotional service. So in that way, because we have that very active nature, and he didn't recommend devotees to try to imitate Thakur Haridas and chant constantly. There was an example of one African devotee who came to Mayapur, and I remember I was in Mumbai at the time, and he stopped in Mumbai on the way, Juhu Temple, and he was, in the morning we'd be going to Mangalarti, he was in the bushes chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Didn't come to the program, he was just chanting in the bushes. Then went to Mayapur, and the festival's going on, Prabhupada's giving lectures, big kirtans, nice prasadam, but he built a small hut in the field and he was just chanting Hare Krishna. So devotees would go and invite him, please come, But he felt this is a disturbance, and he went to Prabhupada. Devotees are disturbing me, Prabhupada. I'm trying to chant, constantly the holy names. I like to build a hut in a tree. Then they can't disturb me so easily. I'll stay up there and chant. And then Prabhupada said, this is a monkey's business. And he said after some time, he left. We have never seen him again. Because he wasn't applying the process properly. Just like also Prabhupada, he didn't encourage devotees to go and stay in Radhakund, but he rather encouraged them to stay at ISKCON temple, follow the program. Sometimes he can't go in a parikrama there, but he didn't encourage them to stay there all the time and try to imitate, the Goswamis or Haridas Thakur. So better that we follow the program as Srila Prabhupada recommended. That way keep ourselves busy in devotional service, keep ourselves busy in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti, in Madhurya Kadambya, he analyzes the verses of Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddhata To Sadhu Sankata Bhajana Kriya, etc. And he says that Bhajana Kriya in the beginning is anishta. One's devotional service is unsteady due to presence of anartas, impurities. But by steadily following the process, then gradually the anartas become reduced. And then the one's devotional service becomes nishta. But it has to become nishta or fixed on the three levels, physical, vocal, and mental. He said easier to become fixed on the physical level, and next easiest to become fixed on the vocal level, and most difficult to become fixed on the mental level. So easiest to become fully engaged in the activities of devotional service, and then next easiest, to constantly chant Hare Krishna, talk about Krishna. Most difficult to control the mind. as Arjuna said to Krishna, it seems to me controlling the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. But Krishna said it's possible by constant practice, by appropriate and constant practice and determination. So, well, it may take a long time. You know, we have been in a material world for a long time, maybe thousands, millions of lifetimes. So, to, you know, become fully purified, fully Krishna conscious is, you know, not such an easy matter. But still, if we steadily follow the process, even though there may be blips, ups and downs, or difficulties from time to time, if we steadily follow the process with determination, then gradually you can get more and more momentum, more and more strength in Krishna consciousness, and more ability to constantly remember Krishna at all times and in all circumstances. So that's the goal, because Krishna says that whatever one's consciousness is fixed on at the time of death, one attains that state in his next life. So he says, those who think of me at the time of death return to my abode. So we to practice remembering Krishna by being engaged in devotional service and by chanting the holy names of Krishna. And thus, gradually, we can come to the Nishta platform and progress further to higher levels of asakti, complete attachment to Krishna, and ruchi, you know, real deep taste for the nectar of Krishna consciousness, and come to the levels of bhava, prema eventually. That is the roadmap which has been chalked out by Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas, ultimately, of course, by Krishna himself. So, Hare Krishna.
Did you probably say working hard now then samadhi?
Yes, work now samadhi later. That's one thing that he said. Yeah, work now samadhi later.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Yeah. In Srila Prabhupada mentioning that creeper of devotional service is growing and growing and growing. So basically we cultivating devotional service, that it can grow this way or that way. But very often Srila Prabhupada mentioning that the devotional service under the guidance of spiritual master and senior devotees, especially spiritual master. Can you elaborate what does it mean under the guidance of spiritual master? Because nowadays we can see that devotees doing devotional service whimsically and whatever, in three modes of material nature. And even after a long time practicing whatever spiritual service, seems like they're just not making any progress seemingly. Or they're becoming like independent tourists, just like I think Krishna wants me to do service in that place or in that place. Or sometimes another extreme, I'm doing because Guru told me to do this. I'll not do anything else because. So what is actually the healthy approach, and what does it mean under the guidance of?
Well, I think broadly speaking, Prabhupada especially meant under his guidance, according to his books. You know, because he's the founder of Acharya Viskan, and of course when he was giving lectures and writing, I mean, he was present personally, so he was teaching us how to understand Bhagavad Gita and apply the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam in our lives. So especially means to follow the teachings of the founder Acharya, Krishna and the founder Acharya. But then again, you know, Prabhupada would always, if devotees asked him, in many cases anyway, he would tell them, work under the guidance of the senior devotees, temple president, TBC, those who are more experienced. So that also means, you know, generally speaking, devotees should work under the guidance of senior devotees or consult senior devotees. Even, you know, it not to say that they have to tell us all the time, do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, Prabhupada also encouraged devotees to be independently thoughtful and to come up with ideas, you know, think of ways to spread Krishna consciousness. And he would often, you know, bless that or give his approval to that. In my own case, I remember I
I was on a library party, then we'd gone to Bangladesh and Nepal, and we'd finished most of the libraries in India. So I thought, well, it would be good to go and try to start some preaching in Bangladesh. And my authorities weren't too keen on it, but some other devotee told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw me, you know, I was in his secretary's office, and he happened to see me through the door. He said, come in here. And then he said, you made the right decision, you know, you should go to Bangladesh immediately. So, you know, he did encourage us to come up with ideas how to serve, and maybe, you know, ask, is this okay, is this a good idea? So like that, in consultation, I think, with senior devotees, we should try to execute our service with our spiritual master, with other senior devotees. It's always good to get that feedback, you know, what they think, is this a good idea, like that.
Basically, to get the direction and then fill up with your own creative ideas. So we can get the sutra and just fill up with independent
ideas. Yeah,
you get
a broad framework, yeah, as you say, and then use your intelligence to execute the service, or to increase or elaborate the service a bit. Hare Krishna.
So we have to engage in the devotional service. In my case, I am eager to say something, to keep conversation with friends and this, but I am not very eager to do devotional service. Is it due to my laziness?
Yeah, could be. Mm-hmm.
But I am very eager to talk conversation about the Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, at least do that. At least do that. If you're eager, you have attraction for that, do that. But it's also good to, you know, practically and Prabhupada like that. Devotees would work hard, do something, you know, serious to help spread Krishna consciousness. Well, he felt it's urgent. Well, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also convinced Prabhupada the first time that Prabhupada met him. You know, he was saying, you know, we should young men, intelligent, you should preach Krishna consciousness in English, spread it all over the world. And Prabhupada, he said, it's surely better to get independence for India first, and then we can think about, you know, preaching. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, it's urgent. It doesn't matter. The governments will change, but you know, people in any case will be struggling in material existence. So it's urgent to preach, to give them spiritual knowledge. So we see how hard Prabhupada worked, and none of us can come even, you know, work at the same level that he did. But at least we should try our best.
Прошу, Патрик, можешь перевести? Вот, в руководстве ИСКОН написано, что есть две линии управления, как бы, руководство. Это административное и духовное. Но вот, к сожалению, я в последнее время, ну, иногда так сталкиваюсь, что в разных театрах, в разных городах бывает, что, ну, довольно противоречивое такое руководство, да, даже противостояние с международным административным духовным, ну, какой-то вот противоречие. Как вот в этих случаях путь вот, все-таки, я понимаю, что две линии руководства есть, да, но когда я вижу, что между ними существует противоречие определенное, да, какую линию мне выбирать правильно, то есть духовную линию руководства или административную? Понятно, да, вопрос?
In ISKCON we have two lines of management, one is administrative, another one is spiritual. And sometimes we can see that in temple there is conflict between these two lines of management. So this two point of view, spiritual and managerial, sometimes comes into conflict. So in this situation, which line we have to be inclined to take, spiritual or managerial, when this conflict takes place?
And
when their approach is contradictory. when these two angles of management comes in contradiction, spiritual and material sometimes come in conflict.
Well, of course, it would be better to take it on case by case basis. And
то есть лучше это принимать от случая к случаю, то есть нужно каждый случай отдельно смотреть.
I mean, we could say generally speaking, you know, one has to protect one's spiritual life. The spiritual aspect is the most important, but they're linked. I mean, you know, the managerial is, it's a spiritual management. So, and sometimes things, something may need to be done, you know, urgently.
Если говорить в общем, то, конечно же, говорится, что мы должны защитить свою духовную жизнь. Но действительно, если мы смотрим на практике, то они на самом деле зависимы друг от друга. Мы можем видеть, что некоторые вещи должны быть выполнены немедленно, и поэтому необходимо какое-то пожертвование, даже может духовными какими-то видениями. Есть вещи, которые необходимо выполнять медленно в
менеджменте. I mean, there's that example when a devotee in Mumbai, you know, he was involved in a construction. And he went to Prabhupada and he said, you know, maybe Prabhupada, I should go to Vrindavan and concentrate on my chanting, because here when I'm in Mumbai, when I'm chanting, I'm just thinking of bricks and cement and steel.
Однажды преданный в Бомбее, когда они строили храм, он пришел к Прабхупаде с жалобой, говорит, что Прабхупада, может мне поехать по Вриндаван, потому что я здесь абсолютно беспокоен, у меня в голове одни кирпичи и цемент, когда читаю джапу.
Прабхупада looked at me and said, I also find the same thing.
Посмотри, у меня то же самое в голове на самом деле, что я могу поделать.
So I mean, the managerial side of it, you know, it's connected with the spiritual activity. So we have to see case by case basis.
Managerialная сторона, она на самом деле она дополняет духовную, поэтому от случая к случаю нужно смотреть.
You know, you might think, well, you know, if we have to choose the spiritual part of it, then better he would go to Vrindavan and chant.
Может быть, ты думаешь, что я выберу духовную сторону и просто уеду в Вриндаван и буду повторять там джапу.
You see. But Prabhupada said, no, you continue your service.
Прабхупада говорил, продолжай свое служение просто.
So it just depends on the circumstances.
Зависит от ситуации.
But in general, you know, devotees have to make sure they chant their rounds and they attend programs on a regular basis.
Ну, в общем, преданные должны, конечно, смотреть, что они повторяют 16 кругов регулярно и посещают внутренние программы. As I listened to that, actually, I remember Jatak Maharaj once was telling that it was Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
All devotees from all over the world came. Jaya Prabhupada, everybody. And Jatak Maharaj was in charge Mayapur construction that time. And just for one night, he took the train and came to Srila Prabhupada Vyasa Puja tenants. And just evening before, devotees went in the room of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Jayataka Maharaj also entered the room.
Mm.
And Prabhupada said, what are you doing here?
Mm.
Well, Prabhupada, I just came for your Vyasa Puja. Right now, go back to Mayapur. That is your Vyasa Puja.
Mm.
He sent him back to Mayapur same evening.
Mm.
So this is your battlefield, this is your Vyasa Puja.
And sometime when I was in America with a group of devotees doing Sankirtan, and you know, we were in the van and it was about 5-6 devotees, so I was watching how also difficult to be together because, you know, so many different ideas. But then the devotees, they had to, like a Prabhupada said, to become one Krishna consciousness, to fix your mind, to service Krishna. So the devotees, sometimes they had so much, you know, they disagree, but at the end, they had to work together for the preaching purpose.
Hmm.
Maharaj, you said that the highest is to focus the mind to Krishna. That is the highest thought of Krishna. Means using mind, words and deeds, the mind is the highest level to engage in. What is the symptom? Who is actually engaging his mind fully in Krishna consciousness? What are the characteristics we can observe?
Well, he'd be blissful. Blissful. Always chanting. He'll always be chanting the names of Krishna. Always engaged in devotional service. Certainly those are symptoms externally that we can see. Because his mind is also attached to Krishna, so you know the seeds of our activity, you know, are there in the mind. They become manifested through the words and the activities. So that, you know, that's a principal way in which we can see, because we can't enter into people's minds and, you know, see what they're thinking. But that's a, you know, main symptom by which we can judge, by their words, by their activities, by their service, and by, you know, and by the way in which they associate with other devotees. Those who are Krishna conscious will be able to associate with other devotees in a mood of service and in a mood of Krishna consciousness. Any comment here on this point?
Actually, this is also, I heard, it can be manifested in the speech, what he is speaking, because usually what people think in, they will be speaking.
That's what I said, in the words and in the activities. So,
yes. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that Mayava Mana, that's it, Mayava Dhinivesha, Nivesha, Sitsi, Mayava Tav, Dhamna, Samadha. After describing, if you're not able to follow, if you're not engage your mind in intelligence, then you do some devotional service in practice. And then if you're not able to do, then you do something for me. By doing for me, you will get the perfection. After that, Krishna explained that Adishta Sarva Bhutana, Matya Karuna Evasa. Like that, he is explaining some characteristics, some symptoms of a pure devotees. Adishta, he is not envious to anyone. Like that, so many descriptions are there. These descriptions are fit for that those who is engaging his mind and intelligence fully in Krishna consciousness.
Which of the verses is that?
12
number 12.
From 13 onwards to 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, these are symptoms of a very highly Krishna conscious person.
He actually invests his mind and intelligence.
Yeah. For sure. He's a very elevated devotee. Krishna is describing the pure unalloyed devotees, I think, in these verses. So obviously, yes, their minds are fully absorbed. So those would be symptoms that you see there. That I described. Yeah. Correct.
Если ученик по отношению к своему духовному учителю проявляет неблагодарность, это есть проявление философии Майлады.
If disciple manifests is ungrateful toward his spiritual master, is it a symptom of Mayavada behavior?
Well, could be, or could be just also material consciousness, material attachment.
Only because material materialness. Could be just ignorance.
Could be, yeah. That's also, yeah. Well, as, you know, as as you said, the living entity is haunted by two kinds of ghosts, karma and jnana. In the material world, that is. So yeah, and you know, it would tend to be one or the other, you know. Or mixture even. Okay then. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sarvaita Bhaktivinoda ki. Hare Krishna.